The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, pull up a chair. It's Hacks on Tap with David Axelrod, Robert Gibbs, and Mike Murphy.
Why do I care what's going on in the conflict between Ukraine and Russia?
I'll tell you why.
And why shouldn't I root for Russia, which I am?
At this point, NATO exists primarily to torment Vladimir Putin, who, whatever his many faults, has no intention of invading Western Europe. Vladimir Putin does not want Belgium. He just wants to keep his Western border secure.
Wait a second. Why is it disloyal to side with Russia, but loyal to side with Ukraine?
There you go, Mike Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah. As Vladimir Ilyich Lenin said, nothing better than a useful idiot.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see if he's actually a useful idiot or complicit. It seems to me like he's that's Tucker Carlson. Of course, he's campaigning for the... I don't think they call it the Order of Lenin anymore, do they?
They've got some new ones. I'm sure they're working on the Order of Putin. But look, essentially, he's a cable TV rodeo clown. And, you know, it's sad, really. I've known Tucker a long time. I knew him back when he was a smart, right-of-center political journalist, a friend of mine. And I don't know if he owes money to the Bulgarian mob or something, or Russian mob. I don't know if he's totally cynical, or I don't know if he woke up one day and said, you know, this stuff all makes a lot of sense to me, but it's kind of a tragic tale.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, you saw that brave woman who stood up behind the newscaster in Russia yesterday.
She's now missing. Yeah.
Yes. If Stephanie Cutter were Russian, she would have been that woman because she is someone of boundless fortitude, courage, and insight. And guess what? She's with us here today.
Hello.
The great Stephanie Cutter. How are you?
Great to be with you. Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. What do you guys make of where we are? Zelensky's speaking to Congress tomorrow. And there's so much tragedy associated with this Ukraine story and so grave a threat. But we're hacks, and we need to think about the political implications of it. Stephanie, when Zelensky makes that speech and asks us to do more, what kind of pressure does that put on the Biden administration? Are they excited about Zelensky's speech?
Well, I think that if there's more to be done in a way that doesn't, you know, have Russia turn its sights on the United States, or our NATO allies, the administration has either already thought about it or is thinking about it. The danger is that there are starting to be factions in Congress, and we know where Zelensky is on this, to have a no-fly zone. That's only going to grow. I'm sure he is going to mention it when he comes before Congress. Congress is going to start to move on it, and that creates tremendous pressure. And you know, I personally think the president's doing a great job on Ukraine, but you don't want to be behind the curve.
Yeah, I think that's a danger. Biden's in a tough situation of trying to protect the national interest rather than appease the national mood. Mm-hmm. That said, I thought he bungled the MiG thing. Even if they don't need the MiGs, showing strength by not being afraid of a small escalation, because Putin escalates every day. You know, he's now raining rocket fire on staging bases that are very close to the Polish/NATO border. So I think Zelensky is going to be very effective with Congress, and Biden will be under pressure to inch up the Western assistance. And, you know, no-fly zone is one thing. That could be a real trigger. You know, you don't want to get into an escalation spiral, but there's other stuff they can do. You know, they don't have anti-air defenses that are beyond short range. There are some NATO allies that have Soviet stuff that works that the Ukrainians know how to use. We could start giving them killer drones of our own. They put those Turkish things to great effect. Turkey's got 100 of those sitting around. No reason why 20 more can't find their way there. So I think there is a way to up the throttle a little bit. And Stephanie's right. Biden doesn't want to be left behind on this, not only for domestic politics, but he's got to show the Russians that he's not afraid to slightly escalate. Because, you know, they know that if the escalation ladder keeps going and NATO's involved, Russia gets wiped out in a conventional battle. Not that we want that, but Biden's got cards to play here, and Zelensky is going to force him to play more, which is good.
I am reminded of the fact, and Stephanie can appreciate this, that it's tough when you're sitting in that building in the White House and everybody, it's like sports, except there are real consequences. Everybody in the world is smarter than you. And I'm sure they are calculating every moment sort of how far can we go without tipping over into essentially World War III that could have nuclear implications. And that's a hard, hard line to walk, but I heard Jim Clapper last night talking about this, the former director of National Intelligence, and he said, look, we're already giving them weapons that are killing Russians. I mean, it's not, that line has been crossed.
Yeah.
So, he was in favor of delivering the MiGs. He was in favor of getting more weaponry in there that is useful right now. How about Zelensky, though? I mean, who would have seen this coming? Former comedian now channeling Winston Churchill. It's really extraordinary to see. Maybe John Stewart should be dusting off his presidential campaign for.
Let's not go crazy.
Well,
I remember all the bedtime for Bonzo jokes. You know, about Ronald Reagan. Occasionally people who are public performers know how to do the public performance part of leadership, which is really, really important. You know, by the way, you can see his sitcom, at least a year ago you could on Netflix. And I highly recommend The Pilot, because he basically plays like a high school teacher with this crazy family, and he gives a rant at work, and one of the kids films it on an iPhone. Next thing you know, he's president of the Ukraine. It's the ultimate life imitates art deal.
What is really interesting is watching the contrast of Zelensky walking the streets of Kyiv and doing his sort of impromptu messaging over the internet, and Vladimir Putin, you know, cloistered there alone in the Kremlin with his 20th century communications. The contrast, I think, is really striking. And to the extent that Russians see it, which I think is scarce, I know he had a message to Russians yesterday. It must be striking to them as well. But that's been, that's been a huge part of the story. So tell me, Murphy, I'll start with you, because you are steeped in Russian studies. But how does this damn thing end?
Well, I've been watching Putin's broadcast, and I think every time the conference table gets another meter longer. You know, Russia's run by a couple hundred people between oligarchs and people inside the state ministries, and they call them Siloviks, who are the old KGB pals of Putin. And, you know, this is bad for business. It's becoming really bad for Russian foreign policy. For 40 years in Europe is focused on dividing the Europeans, and whatever you do, never let the Germans rearm. Well, you know, they've had two massive debates there. And even if they knock down, you know, Kyiv, I'm so used to saying Kiev, but Kyiv, then this will make Afghanistan look like a warm bowl of borscht.
Is Chicken Kiev now Chicken Kiev too?
Yeah, it should be Freedom Chicken because, yeah, you know, it's the Ukrainian or the old Russian pronunciation. But bottom line is this thing is a nightmare, and the folks around Putin increasingly get it. I mean, it's no small deal. He just arrested a bunch of his own KGB goons. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Russian general, you're thinking, okay, my big plan was to steal a few million in a Swiss account, get my kid into UCLA, you know, and have a life. Now I'm probably going to have a war crime prosecution, so it'll be hard for me to leave. The money's frozen, and I'm here, and Putin's going to do a purge after this and start offing us for following his damn orders. So,
and now my kid's going to have to go to USC.
Well, Tavarish, give me a call. but anyway, bottom line is, I think he's getting more and more isolated, and that doesn't mean overnight they do something about it. But he's one reason that table's so long isn't just biology. He's very alone, other than a few really hardcore advisors cloistered together. And this economic thing, you can't keep a stock market closed forever. You know, I think Biden, to his credit, is going to up the petroleum squeeze on him. And so, you know, Putin's racing a clock here. So, you know, maybe he does want to go nose to nose with NATO and then back down to find an off ramp, which is scary. You know, it's 1914 stuff, but it can't hold like this for him, I don't think.
The other thing that's going to happen, you know, there's estimates that, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 Russian troops have been killed.
Yeah.
Those body bags are going to come back. And, you know, the mothers who organized against him, you know, after Crimea and other conflicts are going to organize against him again. And he has to, you know, that's something that he has to face. He can't lock all those mothers up like he does everybody else. Yeah. So that's going to be, you know, this is going to become very real to the Russian people very quickly. Russian soldiers coming back in body bags, you know, not being able to contact your relatives on social media in Ukraine or other countries, not being able to travel, losing all of your investments, the stock market, basically depleted. This is not the way they want to live.
Take that brave woman who jumped up on their newscast with the sign. You know, you do that here,
right?
You get a cable contract and a TikTok account with 5 million followers. She's disappeared.
She's disappeared. Yeah.
She's in an FSB prison right now,
right?
Where they don't leave a mint on the pillow, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And not to mention all the thousands of protesters over the last several weeks who are also locked up.
But that does speak to the communications hammer lock that he has over large portions of how Russians get their information. But listen, we're focused here on American politics, and I'm wondering how this thing. I agree with you, Stephanie. I think Biden has handled this well, and you know, whatever hiccups there were around Afghanistan, this thing has been well done. Close coordination with the allies, holding NATO together, which I think has been a major focus of his, and tough measures. But the question is, does this help him? You know, we've got these polls that are out now. I was particularly focused on the Wall Street Journal poll because it's done with John Anzalone, who's Biden's pollster, and Tony Fabrizio, who was Trump's pollster. And, you know, his approval rating is still sitting there at 42%. But the thing that was striking to me was when they asked a measure of strength, you know, 41%. That's a leading indicator for presidents. And we're right in the middle of this standoff with Ukraine, where I think he is showing strength. Does this end up helping Biden, or do the some of the economic hiccups that are associated with sanctions make it harder for him?
Well, it depends what he does with those economic sanctions and how he communicates to the American people of how they're going to impact them and what he's going to do about it. You know, in that poll, 50% of people approve of how he's handled Ukraine. And he hasn't hit the 50% mark on issues in a long time. So I think that's encouraging. We're only 20 days in. You know, gas prices are at a record high and likely to go higher. So what does the president do about it? You know, this is at the same time that, who was it recently? Was it Exxon announced their latest profits? And for the American oil companies, you know, I think they collectively made $200 billion last year. That's an enormous amount of profit. So, you know, what does the president do? Does he try to hold them accountable? Does he investigate price gouging? Does he call on Congress to provide subsidies? It depends on how he leads through this. But he's got to lead. He can't let this happen to the country. He needs to lead us through it.
You know, let me put on my, get my scythe and my Grim Reaper hood, because I went through those numbers too. And I thought, I'm glad I'm not a political hack working for Biden, because they gave me a real chill. He's had a weakness narrative from near the beginning, which, you know, isn't all his fault. He was civil and respectful of some of the firebrands in his party in the House who held him up, but it made him look weak. And I mean, right now, yes, the approval ratings crept up a little bit, but is Biden a strong leader? 41 yes, 57 no. So if the Ukraine's helping him, it ain't helping him much. And the most important Biden job approval on the economy, which is number one issue, bigger than Ukraine, 39 positive, 59 negative, which is why the generic voter, you're going to vote Republican or Democrat for Congress, is plus five Republican, which is about as good as it gets. So I think he needs some big moves. I'm not going down the wag the dog route here, but that weakness narrative has stuck to him. And while they do approve, the only thing, as Stephanie says, that rings the bell is Ukraine. That gets them to 50. But on almost every other description other than empathy, you know, there's this huge double-digit gap between, yeah, he's a nice guy and he cares about people,
yeah,
and he can't seem to do anything about it.
They asked a couple of questions, a split sample. Joe Biden is focused on the issues that are most important to me. Total number agreeing 39, total disagreeing 58. Then they asked, Joe Biden tries to do the right thing, tries to do the right thing. Total agree 50, total disagree 48. And I think if you put that together with the strength numbers, that's the conundrum that he has. I think people think he's a decent person. I think they think he's well-meaning and well-intended.
Oh, yeah, but if they think he can't get anything done, it's Jimmy Carterville. That's
right. And the thing, and not being focused on the things that are most important to them. And what's most important right now is this issue of inflation. That's the prism through which people are seeing the economy.
All right, let's stop for a minute and listen to a word from one of our fine sponsors. I don't know, Axe. I've been walking around the Hacks on Tap Freedom Studio lately, and I've noticed that Allison, our crack producer, is just happy. She's got that glimmer in her eyes. What's going on? There's some new product I think she's quite excited about.
Well, since you denied her the raise she deserves, it has to be Athletic Greens. Isn't that right, Allison?
That's right.
That was the Pinkertons, not me, but keep going.
All right, Mike, explain to everybody why Athletic Greens is so damn good.
Well, as Dr. Science, as you know, I can tell you, when you take Athletic Greens, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens.
Yeah, and Allison, how does it taste?
It's delicious.
Delicious, which not all these supplements can claim. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. That's why we get this energetic representation from Allison. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and this is important for you, Murphy, aging.
Yeah. Here's what I like about it. Tons of people take some kind of multivitamin, and it's important to choose one with high-quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. Athletic Green is a small micro-habit with big benefits. It's one thing you can do every single day to take great care of yourself. And your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is so important to add in these winter months when we don't get as much sunlight.
And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit, which can get pretty expensive for Mike Murphy. Yeah, I know. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance.
So right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different horse pills and supplements and all that stuff to look out for your health.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/hacks. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/hacks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. At the State of the Union, I thought he should have been tougher in the Ukraine section and more honest about the fact that this is going to hurt us as well. We're going to have to pay a price for this, okay? And this is why the price is worth it. Instead, he said, you know, gas prices are going to go up, but I'm going to make sure that you guys are insulated from them, which he can't, you know, to a large degree.
Can't.
So why not, you know, just be blunt with people? This is, you know, but then now they've overcorrected. And so for a few days he was saying, you know, everything is Putin's price hikes. Inflation is Putin's fault. People don't believe that either. They know that we had inflation before this. They know that gas prices were high before this. So they haven't dialed this in quite right yet. You can't blame everything in the economy on Putin, but what should be blamed on Putin should be blamed on Putin.
Well, the other thing quickly is that the Republicans are getting they're getting away with murder because there's no heat on them. I mean, look at some of these questions, Democrat Party versus Republican Party. Rebuild the economy. Democrats 34, Republicans 47. In an economic election, has a plan to make your life better. Democrats 37, Republicans 45.
I know.
Reduce crime. Democrats 26, Republicans 46. And then Ukraine, you know, it will handle America's foreign policy better. A little tighter, 37-44. Manage Ukraine, 31 Democrat, 38 Republican. Look out for middle class families is tied.
Yeah, that was a stunning number.
You know, in a world where that's tied, not a good world for if you have a D after your name on a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I agree. I mean, all those numbers are daunting. And so it drives me nuts, Stephanie. And you and I lived through this together. They had the Democratic retreat. And of course, it was like bedwetting central. And, you know, and out of it, it's always the same. Like, you've got to get your messaging right. This is, you know, if we just message correctly,
problem.
Like, people feel like shit. They're unhappy. Yeah. They're suffering.
But politically, what I wonder, and Axe, you and I went through this many times, if there was more of a contrast coming out of the White House. And, you know, that's not Biden's natural instinct.
Right.
But there is a real contrast here in terms of, you know, that middle class number is really worrisome. We should be winning that hands down. Or the plan for the economy. What is the Republican plan for the economy? The only thing we know is the Rick Scott 11-point plan, and that's all about raising taxes on poor people.
Right.
So, and the middle class, and seniors, and veterans, and people living with disabilities.
Right.
You know, we leveraged that big time when Mitt Romney put out something similar. You haven't heard anything.
As long as Biden's numbers are like this, the only Republican plan they need to win is we're not the Democrats.
Right.
I mean, everybody, I totally get this. It's so easy to sit around on K Street or wherever and say, boy, I don't know why they don't have a bumper sticker message. But sometimes it's actually true. Build Back Better failed politically. You know, that's fact one is understanding that. And that's out in the press now. Fact two is we're going to pick a big fight on prescription drugs and childcare starting today against the Republicans. You know, that is a bumper sticker, and that kind of stuff works for the D's, and it's lost right now.
No, I agree with that, and I totally, if they allow this, because I don't think inflation is going to be appreciably better, it may be worse by the fall. If this just becomes a referendum on Biden,
it is.
then then that's the worst case scenario. It has to, I agree that it has to be a contrast, and they should drive a contrast. But the thing that the, I guess what I was reacting to is it's always the same in these congressional caucuses. If we just tell them what we're doing for them, if we just tell them all the good things.
Well, that's every incumbent. You know, you've been to the meeting where every incumbent's written their first ad. It's 49 minutes long. Here's what I did for you, idiots. Yes. Vote for me.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and telling them and telling people that it's actually better than they think it is.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that they should be telling people that the economy is better than people think it is. But, you know, they do have some accomplishments that they can use to get into these local communities and talk about what it did for them. And who voted against it. You know, those are some plays, frankly, that they should have been playing a long time ago, but they are starting to play now. You saw last week the president make a pretty strong statement on the anniversary of the rescue plan and tie it to school openings and small business openings and things like that. Every Republican voted against that. Those are things that can be useful. I agree with what everybody's saying here, that the only plan that matters for Republicans is that it's not the Democratic plan, and this is likely going to be a referendum on the president and all of that. But the more some of those frontline Democrats in the House who, you know, really shepherded the infrastructure bill through, got it separated from BBT, from Build Back Better, and shepherded it through, pulled a coalition together on the House side and the Senate side to get it through, you know, that's a real victory for them if they can localize the messaging. But they've got to do that now.
No, that's a key, is localizing, because you want to get out of this huge sort of tsunami headed their way.
Yeah.
Here's the other problem. These retreats, I agree, they drive me crazy on the R side too. But what you've got is, in a Democratic retreat, you got 70 members telling you what to do politically, who all come from districts that a box of hammers can win if it has a D written. So guess what? It's an agenda that's ideologically where they are, which is, we're going to do something about the cops. We're going to have a Green New Deal, whatever the litany is. And most of that stuff is unhelpful in the kind of districts that are at stake. But it's very hard to convince a bunch of members who, quote, never lost an election, because it was impossible to lose in the districts they're from, to try something that puts them out of their ideological comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah.
And now the culture of the Democratic Party, you know, Republicans, we always steal the John Stuart Mill thing about the evil party and the stupid party. And we always think the Democrats kind of the evil party and we're the stupid party. But one thing we do is we all pick up sticks and run toward the enemy. Dems go hold a press conference and an alternate State of the Union address and all this stuff. And we used to admire the fact that Dems all marched together. And it's kind of where we thought we learned it from. And, you know, there's all this freelancing, and it's just, I feel bad for Biden because his army likes to fight sideways.
I love that because, Stephanie, how many times have we heard, how come the Republicans all are so disciplined, and why can't we be more like them? And there's something, look, there's some Republicans tend to be better at sort of boiling things down because they don't look at policy as a thing to, you know, you can't get policy on a bumper sticker, and that's what Democrats love. But basically, both sides think the other side somehow has some secret formula.
We think it's all union bosses who push a button on their desk.
And, well, they don't think that about us right now.
No, that is probably true.
Time to pay the meter, but we will be right back. Now, let's hear from our sponsor. So I don't know about you, Axelrod, but defending capitalism is a heavy chore these days in American politics, so I'm always on the lookout to hire good people. But in our economy, it's not easy. It's hard to find quality candidates. That's why I'm excited about a platform that's every bit as powerful as I need. And that platform is Indeed.
Yeah, more important now than ever because we have this glut on the job market. People need to hire. And so you have to have the power that Indeed offers. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applicants that meet your must-have requirements, or else, you know what? You don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process. They find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed's Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews.
I love Instant Match because as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. In business, we all know time is money, and Indeed is fast. Plus, you only pay for quality applicants that meet your must-have requirements.
Yep, Indeed makes it easy to hire great talent. According to ComScore, Indeed is the number one job site worldwide, and Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. Wow. According to TalentNest 2019, join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
So start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/hacks. This offer is valid through March 31st. So get going. Go to Indeed.com/hacks to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/hacks. Terms and conditions do apply. Need to hire?
You need Indeed. You mentioned John Stuart Mill's. I want to talk about a millstone, and that is
this transition award. Ring the bell.
I can't ever do a transition without you ringing the bell. And the whole thing about transitions is they're supposed to be.
We're a very postmodern show. You know,
they're supposed to be seamless where nobody's anyway. So, but what about Tucker? We talked about Tucker at the top, but you have Trump who, you know, called this invasion genius. And he's tried to clean it up a little since then. But I think that was very revealing. He admires these acts of belligerence, and he thinks they're signs of strength. Mike, how do you live? If you're a Republican, how do you live in that party and try and navigate the most popular figure in the party when in the midst of a war that's highly, I think Putin's numbers were like 2-90 in this Wall Street Journal poll.
Yeah, no, it's a problem, and good. It ought to be a problem. It's starting to boil off the veneer of kind of being quiet about Trump, looking the other way. I will tell you what, in the party, there's a fascinating dynamic going on because kind of the Trump hostage faction of the party, well, I can't really take him on. I'd lose my primary. Don't really like the guy, but I'll tell you what, he won. He brings in all these new voters. He's really great. You know, the kind of the Faustian deal of you get electoral success, which I would argue we don't really get. We've lost a lot of races with Trump's brand. But they make that argument. That is melting away. Because now what they say is, you know, if we had good Trump, he'd out be talking about gas prices and inflation and riling up his people and setting us up to win. Instead, we have crazy old man on a bus Trump, who's going on and on about September 6th and counting the vote and Chinese robots. And, you know, so whatever good he did for us is over. So now the question is, how do we escape? Probably we offer people Trump without the crazy, and Q DeSantis and Cotton and Hawley, they're all positioning themselves that way because under the surface, it is moving. Even that, you know, we had Fabrizio on, that survey he did that shows about 75% of the party is Trump positive. But of that 75 to 80%, only half think he's the future. The rest would find somebody new. And that crack in the Trump dam under the surface is really growing. And you can see it as you see these people put out feelers and start to try to get Trump light, you know, fewer calories, whatever. It's fewer crazy, same stuff. The other thing that's going on is people are looking at the Democrats on the Republican side and thinking they've blown it. They're going to get killed in the midterms. Biden's going to have a revolt and probably a primary challenger if he runs. If he doesn't run, they're going to, God knows who they're going to nominate. The only way we can blow this thing is to nominate Trump and change the subject. So every political interest calculation is moving from follow Trump because you have to do, my God, can't we do something about Trump? And I'll finally say a lot of us in the party, we joined because we didn't like the Soviets and things like, you know, communism. That's why I joined. You know, we were out there at Georgetown getting arrested, protesting the Russian embassy over Afghanistan when I was in the College of Republicans.
Putin remembers that, by the way, so stay out of Moscow.
Very funny story. My old firm had some lobbyists in it. They were pitching an energy client, and some ex-general flew in from Moscow. I wasn't in the meeting. And had the young interpreter with him, and halfway through the meeting, pulled out a file and said, "Your Mr. Murphy is anti-Russian." I've never been happier.
Yeah.
That's scary.
You paid that guy to do that.
The dynamic, the leading indicator, like we were talking about in the polling data about Biden's numbers on handling the economy, is cracking because Trump's looking, the Republican Party is like oligarchs looking at Putin. Trump is bad for business going forward when we have a huge opportunity because the Dems are going to screw this thing up. So we'll see if that'll manifest itself. But watch the Kemp race in Georgia.
I have to tell you guys, we did a very interesting focus group for the Institute of Politics, on which both you guys, whose board you serve on, we did this in Peoria a few weeks ago. I don't think I've talked to you about this, Mike. This was of Trump voters. They were Republican voters. They'd all voted for Trump. And they were enthusiastic about him as president. By the way, he gets, you know, his ratings as president are this, maybe a tick even better than Biden's in this.
Yeah.
In this poll, and they're even in this poll. But these people, when the moderator asked them, whether they would like to see him run again, even in this very, pro-Trump group, there was a lot of hemming and hawing, and I don't know, you know, I don't know whether he's what we need moving forward.
Yeah, the fatigue.
Forward. Yeah. Actually, DeSantis' name came up quite a bit. So that was interesting to me, and it does sort of underscore your point. That said, if there were a primary today, he would win it.
Oh, yeah, today, absolutely. But, you know, we've got our crystal balls out here, and until we can get Kreskin to come on the show, we're not going to really
next
help.
Week, by the way, I hear, but but we have the next best thing. We got Stephanie. So
just really quickly, one other Trump thing about all this, a smart Repub. We were talking about every party has ideological cataracts, and the Democratic ideological cataracts around spending. And in the Republican focus groups, the equation of Biden and the AOC and Pelosi, they spent billions like crazy. Now we have inflation. Heads right. Move. They right. Not got it. That's what happened. And so the counterattack is, we spent money. Look at Trump, you know, blah, blah, blah. Fiscal conservatism is going to have a huge rocket fuel comeback in the GOP. And yet again, Trump is a bad wart on that weapon, which is being openly discussed, too. Again, yeah. They want a clean way to get power back. And Trump looks like baggage now at a whole new level.
Yeah. And this January 6th commission looks like a game of Wordle in which Trump is the winning yeah. Word there.
That's
so
a good line.
I expect that that's going to heat things up as well. But Stephanie, let me ask you a question. One of the things I was wondering was, and I guess someone told me that priorities did an ad, but
on gas prices?
No, on Trump calling this Ukraine attack genius.
Genius.
But man, I don't know why that wasn't. I mean, I would have put tens of millions behind that in the moment, and you know, and then associate the Republican Party with his, I mean, he is the leader, he is the putative leader of the Republican Party right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's calling the you know, this brutal invasion genius. It seems to me that's a big burden. I don't know why more wasn't done with that.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, maybe because so many consultants are telling Democrats to move beyond Trump, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Coming out of Virginia. Always learning that wrong lesson. You know, I don't think that is that will expire. It is sort of an evergreen attack, particularly as Ukraine gets worse. But I guess the question then is, there's so much to put in that ad on Trump coddling Russia and believing everything that Putin says. Remember, you know, going back to his first meeting with Putin, He was asked if they talked about Russia's intervention in the 2016 election.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, I did. And he said he didn't do it. I believe him.
Yeah.
You know, what a dope. You know, there's a lot there. If Trump does run again and, you know, he says that he is, this is something that is ripe for an attack. I wouldn't say that same thing in the 2020 election,
right,
where people were sort of over it. It wasn't real to them. It is very real now.
Hey, Murphy, you think if he did run that people would run against him and would run the Putin thing at him?
Yeah, I do now. He's bad for business. Let's put it this way. Mitch would. It would start there. The other thing is if, and pray that it does, if this is a quagmire and Putin finds a way to declare victory and retreat to his lair to lick his wounds, President Zelensky is going to do a triumphant tour of America. He's a smart Paul, and I think it's hard for Trump to have a comeback while that guy is doing a Churchill tour of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelensky may take a poke or two at him, a little payback. Mm-hmm. I would. If he's got a satellite link to Congress, I'm hoping he can find 5 minutes to cut a Liz Cheney spot on the side. because I think he'll be weaponized a little in the future. And so, the future is yet ours to make. But there are forces lined up which are bad for Trump. The only thing I think besides ego and insanity that gets Trump in a race for sure is if there is an apparent Democratic nominee who Trump thinks is so weak that it's irresistible to run. And I would, from Trump's point of view, I think he sees Vice President Harris that way. I think she's getting to the race Donald bait.
I guess Trump's answer on the Ukraine thing would be, and he said Putin never would have done that if I were president.
Yeah, Trump would have cut the ribbon on the city.
Yeah, exactly.
He could have built the bridge to get him in.
Right there marching along.
Okay, then let's take a break right here, and we'll be right back.
Axe, a lot of people didn't even bother to make resolutions this year. And you know what?
What?
I get it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't still find a way to shake things up a little bit, whether it's by switching up your workout routine or going someplace new. Whatever way you challenge yourself this new year, there's no better way to do it than with a pair of outstanding Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. Look, I got these things, Axe. They fell off the truck, you know, and they're really good. The battery lasts forever. The sound is great. They don't look dorky. I have to admit, this is one great sponsor, and I love this product.
Their everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. There's also awareness mode for when you need to listen to your surroundings, so you can take Raycons with you wherever you go. That's a really good feature. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, also important, these earbuds are so comfortable. Right, Murphy? You know this. And they will not budge, right?
Yeah, that's the key thing. You know, I often unwind by doing a little gymnastic tumbling. And the Raycons, and seriously, these things don't fall off. I've had other earbuds that you turn around, somebody's calling for you if you're on a call or something, they go flying out. Very embarrassing. These Raycons, they just hang on for dear life in your ear, and they're still comfortable.
8 hours of playtime, 32 hours of battery life, yep. And they're priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands.
So it's no wonder Raycon Everyday Earbuds have over 48,000 five-star online reviews. So right now, you, our Hacks on Tap listeners, can get a special deal. X and I went to bat for you. You get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/hacks. That's buyraycon, RAYCON.com/hacks to save 15%.
Buyraycon.com/hacks. Stephanie, one of the things that isn't in the news as it would have been is this selection of a Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson. It's almost, you really have to search for news on it. You were through some confirmation battles. Did they call you in on this one, by the way?
You know. Just for advice here and there. They're running a great operation.
Uh-huh. Is it advantageous for her that this is all going on right now, that in fact she's not in the news. These hearings are right around the corner. They're trying to get this thing done Monday. By the first week in April.
Yeah, and I think they will. You know, there's nothing has really, there have been attacks, but they're not, they don't stick. Yeah. You know, is it helpful that Ukraine is diverting attention? Sure. It prevents Republicans from really getting organized on it, but they're still doing what they're doing. You know, Grassley is arguing that we're rushing it through and we need to slow it down and take, you know, do this responsibly. He's forgetting.
Short-term memory loss there.
Exactly. So we're calling him out on that. You've got people questioning her role as a public defender in representing detainees at Guantanamo. You know, also short-term memory where, you know, some very high-ranking Republican national security officials stood up and defended that role, including John McCain, in that our, you know, our constitutional system wouldn't work but for public defenders. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to see more. And there, you know, there's the other thing that's happening is that McConnell knows that he can't really lay a finger on her.
Right. So, that's the thing.
And he spent time on the floor actually this morning, going at, not at her, but at outside public interest groups or, you know, liberal groups, Demand Justice and other organizations that support her nomination, which means that she's,
that's been his tactic, trying to link her to
dark money behind her.
Yeah, liberal groups. Yeah.
You know, so that's a pretty weak attack.
Yeah, and McConnell knows it. I mean, one, she's, the great organizing principle of politics is be for what's going to happen. She's going to happen. Biden made a smart choice. She's been approved. There are some people who are going to try to score some perfunctory points in their primary electorate scorecards and, you know, protect themselves from attack from people who in the primary electorate who care about this stuff. But it's going to be, she's a done deal. She was a smart choice politically. And the appetite to really tangle for her in the Republican Party is very low. People want to check the box and move on.
And they've very smartly surrounded her with, you know, the Fraternal Order of Police came out and endorsed her that first week. Yesterday, there was another police organization that came out and endorsed her. They've really lifted up her credentials in terms of having support from all sides of the law. So, you know, she is, and after Manchin came out and said good things about her, I know, you know, I think McConnell just decided there's no way we're going to be able to block this, and it wouldn't be good for them politically either.
Well, there's an opportunity cost too. They'd rather be talking about gas prices and inflation than flaying a judge who's hard to attack, and other than an internal
and
politics,
the first black woman be on the Supreme Court.
Believe me, there's no energy in it. It'll be perfunctory based politics. And the smart move for Biden is to do what they've done, wrap around her great story and those endorsements and let the energy peter out quickly, which is what's going to happen on the R side.
Yeah, her messaging when she was nominated was strong. And my guess is she's going to do very, very well in these hearings.
Yeah,
you know, just one footnote. I should have mentioned this earlier. I'm going backwards. So this is an anti-transition here, anti-segue thing.
Oh, a neck slapper.
To roll the tape back here, just a footnote on that Wall Street Journal poll. There is softness that we've seen at the polls among Hispanics, among some black voters that go to class, and they're the ones who are feeling the pinch of this inflation more. There's also, Axios did an interesting thing yesterday about the fact that inflation in some of these swing states is higher in some of these battleground states than it is elsewhere. There are things that Democrats need to pay attention to, but this minority voter thing, I think it's been sort of, you know, well, I mean, let me just say, one of the problems that we have in the Democratic Party, one of the problems the Democratic Party has is that a bunch of white liberals think that they know what black and Hispanic voters are thinking, and that, you know, well, we'll just run on immigration and all the Hispanic voters will vote for us. We'll, you know.
Yeah, that's how they blew Miami.
You know, we'll run on, you know, police issues, but they don't necessarily understand the complex nature of people's attitudes in communities that are actually under siege by crime. I think Democrats need to pay attention to these constituencies because they're beginning to splinter a little. and these solid bases of support that Democrats have counted on are now, you know, the Hispanic community, large segments of the Hispanic community, quite culturally conservative. You know, there's work to be done here for Democrats. And I think it's a long-term concern that they need to pay attention to.
Yeah, it's much more an aspirational vote than an identity vote. And that's where Democrats get it wrong. I mean, there are polls that show among Latinos, the immigration issue is number 4, 5, or 6. You can see what the Republicans have done in South Texas. Oh, they're against the oil business. Those are good paying jobs or help your family move forward and clean their clock. And you're right. And that ANZO data, the trend line is amazing and terrifying for Dems.
Yeah. And it's coming on the tail end of COVID.
Yes.
Where they were disproportionately impacted. But for a long time, one of the top issues for Hispanic voters is education, because it's the stepping stone.
Yes.
And, you know, we've had schools closed and mask issues, and, you know, they've become the center of controversy. And we lose on those issues. So I think that that's part of this also. And, you know, I do think we can get that back, but it's going to take a concerted effort and some real message discipline focused on kids. And helping them recover. But,
right, totally.
You know, there's a lot of things playing into this right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm involved in the charter school movement. I've, for a long time, I've been on the board. I just left it to go on the PAC board of the Alliance for Public Charter Schools. And boy, I've listened to grassroots Latino charter school principals try to get a meeting with the local member of Congress. And sometimes it happens, and Democrats, you know, we have a lot of support in the CBC, but it is, if you're a colonel in the teachers union, you're in the door with the 32nd ask. And the grassroots power of the education reform movement in urban Latino communities, which are so aspirational, is incredible. And the Democrats are seen as hostile. Anyway, so we'll see what happens.
No, I know. I think this is something that we're going to be talking about some more. And if Democrats are smart, they're talking about it in the councils of the party, because this is not a fluke. This is a trend. And, you know, when you talk about Hispanic voters, many of them are second, third, you know, generation, and they're behaving more like white working class voters. And that needs to be monitored.
We will be back in a minute, but we have to pay a few bills.
You know, Mike, huge tech companies in America pay next to nothing in taxes, which you probably applaud, meaning they barely give anything back to society that makes them rich. They may not do a lot of giving, but they sure do a lot of taking, brother. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about how these tech companies enrich themselves by taking your personal data. They grab your web history, email, metadata, and video searches to create a detailed profile on you. And then they go and they sell that off to the highest bidder. Companies aren't just selling products anymore. They're selling you. You've become the product. So to protect your identity and data from these tech giants, I recommend using ExpressVPN every time you go online.
Well, Axe, I'll tell you what, I got to thank Bernie for helping us punch up the copy today, but I do love ExpressVPN. I mean, think about all the websites you visit, Facebook, Twitter, Google, everything you do and say online, get this, friends, is tracked by these corporations. Using your public IP, Internet Protocol address, they can uniquely match your activity and they can know your location. ExpressVPN makes you anonymous online by camouflaging your IP address and replacing it with a different secure IP of your choice. It also encrypts all your data, so it's protected from hackers and anyone else who's trying to spy on you. What I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you are protected.
So if you're like me and Mike and believe your internet data belongs to you and not to greedy corporations, then ExpressVPN is the answer. So protect your data with a number one rated VPN provider today. So visit expressvpn.com/hacksontap to get 3 months free on a 1-year package.
That's expressvpn.com/hacksontap. ExpressVPN.com/hacksontap to learn more.
They're not really letters, by the way. They're email. I know
sent
that.
Sent to what magic address?
HacksOnTap@gmail.com.
Real quickly, while you're on the internet, subscribe to Murphy and Gibbs' weekly email newsletter full of filthy jokes and political insight and stuff you don't hear here. Just go to HacksOnTap.bulletin.com. It's free. And go to our website, HacksOnTap.com. Click that little store, and you can get the cool merch. T-shirts, coffee mugs, and our designer glass, really cool, rather large, moderation counts, beer mugs with our logo on them. So we got all the junk. People were emailing us wanting merch. Now we got it. Check it out. HacksOnTap.com. All right. Our first question is for Spin Doctor Axelrod. And this comes from Michael, no relation. Assuming Democrats get crushed in the midterms and Biden's poll numbers
remain poor, no relation, my ass. You wrote this question.
And Biden's poll numbers remain poor. Does anyone in the Democratic Party have the power and influence to strongly suggest, if not convince, Biden and Harris that they should step aside in 2024 and or find a convenient excuse, dental emergency maybe, not to run again? Would this type of ballsy move happen behind the scenes?
Well, let me just say one thing, Michael Murphy.
I'm telling you, I'm innocent.
I do remember, and Stephanie does too, the summer of 2011, after Democrats had gotten crushed in the midterms and, you know, by larger numbers likely than Democrats will be this fall. And there were a lot of people reading last rites over Barack Obama's political career. New York Times published a piece by the sainted Nate Silver. Cover of the magazine is Obama toast. That was a year before the election, and things changed. So I wouldn't be so quick to judge things in the moment. That said, you know, there will undoubtedly be a lot of hand-wringing and finger-pointing. There always is after the midterms. If they go down as they appear to be going now, they could change. That part of that speculation is going to be what's going to happen in 2024 because, of course, we can't be without an election campaign. So as soon as this election ends, the next one will begin. But no one's going to I think this is a decision that Biden is going to make on his own. And Harris is going to make on her own based on what they think is best for them and best for the party. And I don't think anybody's going to go to them. There's no Politburo that's going to arrive and tell them not to run. They're going to make these decisions on their own.
I'm more than happy to go see the president and straighten him out.
Yes, I'm sure he'll receive you with open arms.
I won't even make it to the zip code of the White House. All right, a question. Anybody else want to chime in on this quickly?
Stephanie's very quiet.
I wholeheartedly agree. Even if there was someone to convey that message, I don't think President Biden would listen to it. He's going to make his own decision.
You know, it's tough enough to deliver a message like that. Stephanie Cutter, I've seen her do it many times. So, no, I don't think there's going to be a message. There's not going to be a committee to this is going to be a decision that the president will make on his own. And he also knows that things can change. He said he's going to judge it based on his own, how he feels personally, physically, and whether he's up to it. So let me ask you a question, Murphy.
Let me interject. All I'll say is I think if he has a bad midterms, which looks quite likely, he will have a serious primary challenge. We'll see.
He's still in that poll, very, very popular among Democrats, 83%. So, you know, we'll see. But, Murphy, I want to light you off like a Roman candle here and ask you a question from Bob, who says, I am very impressed with the Lincoln Project's ads and find their hard-hitting ads fun. I find Democratic ads way too lefty, good for the base, but unhelpful in swaying swing voters. I want to know if Murphy thinks the Lincoln Project's ads are effective. Do they move the needle?
Well, they're basically donor porn. You know, Lincoln Project ads make hardcore Trump-hating Democrats happy, and I've smiled at a couple, but as voter communications, I think most of them, the ones I've seen, and we even tested a few, during the campaign with swing voters, and they bombed totally. They're so strident and angry. If you're a large Democratic donor who thinks the big problem is Democrats aren't, quote, tough enough, a howling Lincoln Project ad makes you happy and might open your checkbook to the Lincoln Project, which is more than happy to receive those donations. So entertainment value, yes. Political effectiveness, in most cases, quite low.
I think that's why they get a lot of replays on MSNBC.
Right, exactly.
Because I think that's their audience. They've raised quite a bit of money. I don't know whether they've used it to great effect in terms of actually moving the electorate. For that reason, I agree with you. So Stephanie, Chris asks, what are the merits and political outcomes of temporarily suspending gas taxes at all levels of the government until oil prices come back down?
Well, thank you for your question, Chris. Well, it differs based on where you live, because there's federal taxes and state and local taxes, and it can add up to, you know, a lot of money, particularly for people who are, you know, having a tough time getting by. To be able to show people that you care about what's happening and want to provide them some relief, you know, no matter how small, it's effective. There is a long-term consequence of it. It is those gas taxes that fund our infrastructure, you know, roads, bridges, water, cleaning up water supplies, things like that. So the more we eliminate that tax, there's less money going into that trust fund, and there's less building on infrastructure, which means fewer jobs. So it's a little bit of a vicious circle. So we'll have some temporary relief now, but in the long run, it's going to come back to bite us. So politically in the moment, very helpful. Politically in the long term, probably not so helpful.
Yeah, it's a real pander bear move, as the late Paul Tsongas would say. I'd rather build the Keystone Pipeline, which I think was a Biden error to stop, than, you know, switch gas taxes on and off depending on your approval rating.
Yeah, well, of course, the effect of that would not be felt for some time, but that's also a good pander move in your party.
Yeah. No, energy independence, pal. If you guys had done it, we'd be in better shape now. We'll argue about that next episode.
Let me just say, back in 2008, and Stephanie will remember this.
I do remember
John McCain this. And Hillary Clinton called for a suspension of the gas tax when gas prices were very high back then, and Barack Obama was asked about it, and he said, I'm not going to do that because we tried that when I was in the Illinois legislature, and it turned out to be a scam. The money never really reached consumers, and it made very little difference. He says what it is a way for politicians to signify that they're doing something when they're really not doing much. And you know what? Everybody in Washington thought he was nuts for taking that position, and voters mm-hmm. rewarded him for telling the truth. You know, I expect that these gas prices are no joke. You think of
California is $6.50, and we have a 55 cent, I believe, gas tax.
Yeah,
but it's a pandering move. Yeah. I'm actually with Obama on this, so I'll give the president credit for that while I blame him for other stuff.
I don't in any way minimize the pain people are feeling right now. These poor Lyft and Uber drivers out there and others who are, you don't have to drive to make a living.
Well, they're dramatically underpaid by Lyft and Uber. But anyway, that's a whole nother debate.
But listen, before we go, I just want to say we've lost a few journalists in the last few days. One from Fox News, another was, did we lose two from Fox News now? Yes, we have, haven't we?
Yeah.
And a freelance photographer, done a lot of work for the New York Times.
Yes. I so appreciate those people who are knowingly putting themselves in harm's way to tell the story of this war. I'm grateful to live in a country where we can hear that story told, and where we can get the facts, unlike folks in Russia right now. Really, I want to pay tribute to the journalists who are risking their lives to make sure that the stories of Ukraine are being told.
Hear, hear. Stephanie, thank you for doing the podcast. I've got to run off and fight for a free Ukraine here. It was great to hear your voice and have you on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. I'll see you soon. Stephanie, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Talk to you next time.
Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.